You know, God has it all laid out. You follow these portions, you follow the word that God's been given, and He has it all laid out for us. But oftentimes, we find ourselves in an area we've already been. And the other night I was in Baton Rouge and got ready for bed and was just laying there and just began to just think about what God's doing and what He has for us, where He's sending us, what He wants us to do. And the word stuff came to mind. And I just said, okay, Lord, where are you going with this? What are you trying to show me? See, sometimes we are more concerned about our stuff that we can touch than we are about who God is and where He's taking us. And, you know, you get into a service like tonight, sometimes I've seen services like this that, you know, there's not a whole lot of people, and it changes the order of the service. Well, because people are not here, changes the order that God has, maybe we need to reevaluate our life. Because it don't change the word that God has. And about 1:30 this morning, I just woke up. And, you know, you don't just wake up at 1:30 in the morning. So, okay, Lord, what you have? He said that stuff again. I said, Lord, what is it? He said, well, go back. How many of you remember the portion when Moses was on a mountain and God was giving him the Ten Commandments? Well, he was gone a while because he was trying to get leadership by God for God's people. But not all the time we understand that. Not all the time we see that. That those in leadership has to get guidance and get a word from God to help lead and direct His people. But we're always wanting our stuff. And John chapter 4 says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And I'm laying there this morning. I said, okay, Lord, just show me where you're going. What is it about what you just said, the word stuff, or being led by your spirit? See, it's easy to accept the fact when I can walk up to you and we can touch one another. Well, we find that the reason that the church is in the shape it's in is because people can't comprehend, or they can't come to grips with the fact you have to serve God by faith, by trusting He is God, by what you feel. So, okay, Lord, I understand that. But for 2 days, I had a headache. Do you know what? I never seen it. But I knew I had it. How many of you had a backache? How many of you had a backache and you seen it? But you know you had it. You had a stomach ache. How many of you have seen a stomach ache? You ain't never seen it, but you know you have it. Now, I looked at a guy with kidney stones. You can't see it, but you can tell by the reactions it hurts. It's painful. It's there. So why is it so hard to accept the fact that God is God? No, we might not be able to walk up to Him and physically touch Him. But I can tell you, when we get a relationship with Him, when we get born again through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we will know He's there. But we get too caught up in what God made. Play that verse for me.
God said, "Let there be light."
That's it. I think they missed part of it. But God said in Genesis chapter 3, "Let there be light." And there was light. Do you know what's the strange thing? We want the light, because light overcomes darkness. But you can't have the real light without the giver of light. So we can't have real light without the giver of light. See, I could turn off all the lights in here and go to my phone and turn the light on. And it'll only light up one spot where I'm pointing it to. But when God walks in, He lights up the room. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to light up the room so that we can clearly see and understand where we're headed. You know, there's a lot of stuff in this portion tonight that, because we missed what God had 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, however long that other portion was, we're not able to grab a hold of this. And we find ourselves, and I said, "Lord, why is it we find ourselves in those positions?" He said, "Because of a generational curse caused from the children of Israel, where they went around in circles for so long. That curse on a lot of people hadn't been broken yet. And it needs to be broken. We need to quit going around in circles, because we find ourselves going back over and over in places that we've been, so that God can move us on to what He has for us. And that's to be a part of His kingdom. We're not ready for the kingdom, because we're too worried about stuff." Put that image up. You know, Moses was up on a mountain getting leadership for God's people. And they said, "Well, where is he? He's been gone too long. We need something we can see. We need something we can touch. We need something we can hold on to." And when Moses came down, that's what he seen. See, it's not about an image. But a lot of people would be comfortable with that, because you can walk up to it and touch it, because you can physically see it with your natural eyes. Well, listen to me. I look around all through the day, in every place that I go, and I see God. I feel God, but it's by the Spirit. And that's what we have to come to grips, that if I'm tired of going back over and over and over in the same spot, I got to learn how to be led by God's Spirit and accept that God is a spirit. Because let me tell you something. We don't want God, in the shape we're in, we don't want God to physically show up, because we can't take it. It would kill us for God to physically show up without our bodies being changed. You could take that down. But to get back to symptoms. There's symptoms that we have in life that we feel it, but we can't see it. You know, for 2 days, I probably come in contact with 200 or 300 people throughout going to different stores I went to. You know, Pastor, there ain't nobody that walked up to me. Even yesterday, I was in a store, and I walked in there, and I got me something to drink, and I walked up to the counter, and I said, give me a pack of Advil. And the lady didn't say, well, what you getting this? I know why you need this Advil. I could see that headache you have. You can't see it. It wasn't one, you know, my wife, she gets migraines. There's several people in church that has had migraines before. I've never had a migraine headache. They said it hurts. But as bad as it hurts, I've seen people with migraines with tears in their eyes. But you still can't see that headache, but they know they have it. Nobody has to walk up to them and say, you have a headache, because you know you have it. There's a lot of symptoms in our life that we know we have, but you can't see it. So why is it so hard to grab hold of a God that created everything? We don't mind falling in love with his creation, but what about the creator? Because that's who it's going to take to renew our mind and give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to receive the word that he has for us, to get us in a place to be kingdom fit. And that's what he's trying to do. You know, it's so easy. Anybody that says doing this is hard, it's crazy. This is so easy. You could be running in your boat and listen to it. You could be driving your car and listen to it. You can be so off in a shop somewhere working and listen to it. It's so easy. But because we can't physically grab the spirit, we talk ourselves into making it hard. You know, why can't we grab a hold of what God says by the Spirit? When we listen to the other spirit, which is the devil. You say, well, does that happen? Absolutely it happens. People listen to the spirit of the devil all the time. And they believe a lie and their mind gets messed up. They believe that which's not true. But see, God's word warns us about it. But still people believe it. And they get to acting upon it. They get to thinking about it. You know, I had a guy one time call me up. He said, man, I just don't know why you're mad at me. So I'm not mad at you. I just thought you was mad at me. So, well, did you do something that I should be mad at you? Well, no. I said, well, I'm glad you called because I'm not mad at you. But see, he listened to a lie. He had a thought in his mind, and he acted upon it. And he acted upon it quick. Talking to me, he would ignore my phone calls. If I come walking up, he'd leave. And then finally, I said, nah, something's wrong. So when I finally got him to answer, he said, well, I thought you was mad. I said, well, I'm not. And see, and that's what happens in church. We think the wrong thing about a person, and then it interferes with our relationship. And then after it interferes with our relationship, it interferes with the relationship between us and God. Because we always dwelling on, well, you know, that person. The best thing to do is go to them. Let's find out what's wrong. You know, most of the time we find out there's nothing wrong. It's because of a thought. See, our mind And I can tell you there's a lot of people in our church that hadn't got it yet. They still hadn't put the helmet of salvation on. And a thought comes, and we get to dwelling on it, and we think it really happened. But then God tells us the truth, and because we can't reach out and physically grab it, we don't fool with it. Something's wrong with that. Listen. Just because you drive down the road and there's a church with the parking lot full don't mean everything's good. But you know what? I'd rather have groups and not have a full parking lot where the truth's being spoke than have to get the deputy out here directing traffic. See, we got to realize that our stuff, you know, just yesterday I was sharing with the guy, I said he was talking about the flood and how that overnight their life changed. And I said, well, the thing about it is we're not the only ones it happened to. It happens all the time. But after that life change comes, we have a choice. We could do it with God or without Him. See, it's a choice. We have to make a decision. Said, you know, back when Katrina hit, in a matter of 4 hours, from the time it hit and four to six hours later, we didn't have nothing left except what we brought with us. That'll change your life. But I also said this. Think about before Katrina. How much word we got. How many times God gave us word after word after word and got us prepared to go through what we went through. And I had the opportunity not long ago. I was speaking to some people. I said, if you'll go back. I said, I don't know where you go to church at. I don't know if you record the services or if you write anything down. But if you'll go back, not months, not just 1 year, but I guarantee you go back several years before the flood happened in Baton Rouge. And God was preparing you through His word. But we have to come to a realization that He was doing that and grab a hold of who He is and forget about the stuff. There's a lot of stuff right now that's keeping people from serving God. Because they want something they can grab and carry with them. And the thing about it, it's going to perish. Should the Lord tarry, that stuff people's holding on to is going to perish. Eventually, it's not going to be any good. Because the only thing that's going to last is what God is, who God is in His word. And that's what we better grab a hold of. We better learn how to grab a hold of every spoken word by what God's saying. And grab a hold of it with everything in us. God wants to be as real as that pain that you've had in the past that you ain't never seen. I ain't never seen God, but I can tell you when He shows up. But we got to be willing to be led and directed by the leadership of God's Spirit. You know, what good would His creation do for us to have everything He created and not have Him? You know, if you go back to the beginning, there's a whole lot more power having the Creator than having what He created. There's a whole lot more happiness. There's a whole lot more joy having the Creator. Because listen, there's stuff that we have, it's going to break. Stuff wears out. Stuff gets old. But my Bible says that my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And thank God. You know, back in the children of Israel's life, they had Moses that stood and went to God for them. But thank God we have Jesus. So thank God we have Jesus. And he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But if we can't accept God the Father, if we can't accept him for who he is, it's going to be hard to accept what Jesus done. You know, we talk about Peter and we say, you know, think about when Peter got out of the boat. He got out and he took his eyes off of his flotation. See, at that moment, Jesus was Peter's flotation. But he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves. He looked at what was created. See, creation will let you down. But having a Father through the Son, he'll never let you down. But we got to keep our eyes fast on him. But the Bible says, see, he began to sink and he come to his senses and says, Lord, save me. You know, there are some people right here in Burris. It's about to go down for the last time. Needs to come to their senses and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. The Bible says they both went back to the ship and got in. He sank, but he didn't stay down. Because at the moment he said, Lord, save me, Jesus reached out his hand and he helped him get back to the boat. And that's where we are. Jesus has got his arm stretched out. Some of us, he's so close to us, we don't even have to stretch our arm completely out and we'll have our hand in his. But by faith, we got to learn how to do that. By faith, we got to be willing to step to quit looking at how big the waves are. We got to quit looking at the fact that we're sinking and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. And that's where we are. Now, I don't want to keep going in circles. But I knew, because throughout the day, four or five times, the Lord just showed me the same thing that I seen at 1:30 this morning. And if you get a chance, share it with somebody. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to bail out. Now's not the time to give up. We've come too far. There are some people that has years in, that God has years invested in this church that's at the point of giving up. Because they got their eyes on stuff. But my prayer is that God will show mercy. That God will just extend his arm of mercy one more time. You know, thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. So if it would be for mercy and grace, we'd be in trouble. But let's continue to pray for one another. Continue to just encourage one another. And look, it don't take long to be an encouragement to somebody. You know, I remember making a phone call and the guy that I was calling didn't answer. But I left a message. I said, I just want to let you know I love you, I care about you, and I'm praying for you. And I hung up. And about 3 hours later, my phone rang. And he said, I just heard your message. and he said it was on time. See, sometimes we call somebody and God gives us the word to call them and we won't leave a message. Leave a message. They'll listen to it. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's just a message. You know, I miss calls all the time. And on the other end, it's somebody that's not even from this state. Say, hey, brother, we love you. Praying for you. Just want to let you know we care about you. And most of the time at that moment, that's what's needed in my life. You know, you think they don't even care about you. Then you get a message, they praying for you. God knows. God's got people all over the world praying for us. Because he cares that much. See, it's not always about me. It's not always what I think. But it's what God's word says and what he says. And let's learn how to just grab a hold of it and apply it and start using it to help others.